This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Brought to you by the Water Innovations Foundation. Solving the world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to the show this week. I'm Ann Carrick. Vincent Caprio is here, as is Edna Novak, Wayne Winsley on the phone. And now we also have, it's a party, we also have Dr. Joe Sarasula, who's the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. And Joe, are you there with us?
I am here.
Joe, thanks for being here. I don't know if you've been listening. We have, I don't think we have enough time to really talk about this whole topic, but we're going to try to at least cover some of it. Now, you've been working with the What Will Our Children Lose, related specifically to Connecticut, and of course it affects Bridgeport here where the station is, as far as some money that's not going to show up unless it gets put back in a budget, correct?
That's correct. What the state of Connecticut did for the last 2 years was take all of the federal stimulus money that was ticketed for education, and they used that to supplant money in the state aid education program. So that federal money disappears July 1st, and that means we have a hole in the state aid education program of approximately $270 million a year. And if that doesn't get filled, it's going to cause some very difficult problems for Connecticut school districts, especially its largest ones. For example, Bridgeport stands to lose $23 million in state aid. How they could make that up is beyond anybody's imagination. So we're pushing very hard for level funding of the state aid program, which really means we'd like the state to put back into the money, into the state aid program, the money that they, the hole they created, really, by using the federal stimulus money.
And what's the response you've gotten so far from the state regarding that request?
Well, we've gotten a very good response. The governor has set it as his goal. He has really made a commitment to doing that. One of the co-chairs of the Education Committee, Representative Fleischman, has indicated he agrees with us. But they're facing a very difficult challenge. They've got at least a $3.5 billion deficit to deal with. But we're hoping that, you know, like any family, any entity, when you're facing very difficult times, you make sure that you spend the money on the most important stuff, and let the other stuff go by the boards. And we really can't think of anything more important than education. So we're pushing hard for them to, for the governor to reach his goal and for people like Representative Fleischman to deliver on what they want to deliver.
Now, at the same time, are some of the schools that are going to be the most affected, or I should say some of the towns and cities that are going to be most affected, are they at the same time sort of trying to figure out, well, what are they going to do if they don't get that money? How are they going to reallocate the money they do have, because they're going to have to change, you know, their budgets as well to figure out what they're going to do? Because even if the state can put some of that money back, they may not be able to get all of it back.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that, in fact, I know that all of the districts are making contingency plans, and none of them are pleasant. We're looking at, if that money doesn't get restored, we're looking at some major reductions in the teaching staffs. Class sizes will increase. Some of our, I think you've got someone on the program for Teach for America. Some of the districts in Connecticut, a couple, I think, have hired Teach for America participants. They are among the teachers with the least seniority. They'd be out of jobs. We're looking at increases in class sizes. We're looking at a reduction, not only in extracurricular programs, but in some curricular programs as well. So contingency plans are being made, and that's one of the reasons why we're pushing for the state to restore that money, because if those contingency plans have to be put into effect, what we will offer children in the state of Connecticut next September is going to be much less in terms of quality and comprehensiveness than we have right now.
Yeah, and we do, by the way, Edna is still here in the studio with us from Teach for America, just so you know. She is still here listening. You said that the Teach for America teachers, as the newest hires, would be cut. Is that because of the seniority system that the teachers union puts in place?
They don't put it in place all by themselves. The school districts and the teachers unions have agreed to reduction in force procedures. That's a mandatory topic of bargaining in the state of Connecticut. And it's very difficult for a school district to get anything in there that's much more than seniority. Even if they go to arbitration, the arbitration panels, given the rules of arbitration, tend to rule on the side of seniority. So some of our youngest teachers will, our least experienced teachers, will be losing their positions. And in some cases, I'm not saying the veteran teachers are not good. Some of them are excellent. In fact, many of them are excellent. But so are some of our younger teachers, and it's going to be a shame if we lose people who, especially like Teach for America folks, who come into the business because they're really dedicated to children, and see them losing their positions. It's going to be an ugly scene across the state.
So what is the strategy for the state to come up with this $270 million? Where is it going to come from?
Well, I think they're going to have to take a look at revenue increases. Our organization, the Connecticut Association for Public School Superintendents, is on record saying that you can't deal with a $3.5 billion deficit just by cutting expenses. You need to increase taxes somewhere along the line. And in fact, we're even in favor of some moves towards tax reform, such as a progressive income tax. I think those things need to be looked at seriously. If the state tries to accommodate the deficit simply by cutting, what we're going to end up with is not only bad for education, we're going to put a whole bunch of people out of work. That's going to be bad for the economy. And how we are going to get out of recession by putting people out of work is difficult for me to understand.
Right. You know, unlike the federal government that just prints more money, the state doesn't have that option. The only way they can raise money is by
taxes.
You didn't want to use the T word, but it's increased taxes.
No, I just did. I have no problem saying it. We need to increase taxes.
As a concerned citizen, if we're looking at the education problem, I would say, and teachers now will all hate me, but I would say, at what point do you say, we need to keep the teachers that we think are going to be the most effective and get the job done, whether you've been here 2 months, 2 years, or 25 years? At some point, you need to keep the people who can actually make a difference.
Well, yeah, the certainly as a representative of the superintendents in the state, I would agree with you. But let's keep in mind, even if we keep them, even if we had the situation where we could make all the decisions based on performance, still, when you lose as many teachers as we would lose, if we see a $270 million reduction in state aid to education, the people who are left are still going to be very compromised on what they can get done.
Yeah, they're going to be overtaxed.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to end up with class sizes that are going to be very difficult for them to deal with. I think that's the major problem that people need to be aware of. Because that's a problem that will affect kindergarten through grade 12. A lot of the extracurricular stuff can happen at the secondary level, and sometimes folks at the elementary level can say, well, that won't affect me for a couple of years. Well, if we're going to see class sizes in first grade going up from, I think now they're around the 20 range, sometimes a little less than that, up in the 25 to 30 range, a whole bunch of children are not going to get individual attention.
Yeah,
exactly, 30
is unmanageable.
Right. And that's going to be really devastating.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in the schools as a substitute, which has its extra challenges because you don't know anybody's name.
Yeah.
But yes, to have 30 people in a classroom, it's out of control.
Wayne, what do you think about this crisis?
Well, I think, number one, I agree with, is it Joe, right?
Yes.
Okay. I agree that if you lose that much money and that many teachers across the board, your achievement gap is going to do nothing but get wider, and it's going to affect more students. But I also, it's just like trying to fight the drug war by only going after drug dealers and importers without trying to eliminate their customers. You know, it doesn't work unless you go at it from both ends. And mm-hmm. I'm in the business of motivating and encouraging our students. I mean, you're talking to a guy that grew up in the project in Cleveland, Ohio. You name a stereotype, I was basically that kid growing up, and the main thing that turned me around was a man looked me in the face and told me that I could do better, and I believed him.
Mm-hmm.
Even growing up and going to some of the worst schools imaginable, someone told me that I could do better, and I believed him. That piece is just as important as some of the resources coming from the top down.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about that, and the problem with a reduction in the teaching staff is we're going to be losing some of these people who are very inspirational for young people. And, you know, they're still going to be there. There's still going to be people making the effort. Children will still learn something, but they're not going to learn as much as they should. And I think you put your finger on what's really going to be the biggest problem. We already have an achievement gap between poor children and children who are not poor that's significant. Some people claim it's the worst in the country, and some people don't, but whether it is or not, it's bad enough. It's just going to get worse, especially because the districts that most need the money, the Bridgeports, the Stamfords, the Norwalks, the New Havens, the Hartfords, they're going to be the ones losing the most money. They're going to be the ones where the impact is the greatest. And it's going to be a very, it really is a situation that's going to be, from my perspective, very difficult to defend.
In the few minutes we have left, because we really only have a few minutes, and we have a lot of people here today, I'd love to hear from each of you sort of your parting thoughts on the problem, or more to the point, what you think needs to be done. And Wayne, I'm going to start with you. I could guess the rope with the two ends, but go ahead. Tell us what you, from your perspective, what you've seen.
Absolutely. I mean, it is coming at the problem from both ends. That is going to be how we bridge the gap. But I also want to point out that one of the Blue Ribbon panels that were looking into Connecticut's achievement gap, one of their recommendations as a solution was to come up, was to hire two, I believe it was commission-level executives to address the problem. And that I just thought was just laughable.
Right.
So if we can do better with the resources that we have, we obviously need more, but we've got to do better, and we've got to increase the importance of education to parents and students.
So higher priority, education has to have a higher priority for the students and the parents, work at it from both sides, and do a better job of using the resources we already have. Edna, I'll let you go next.
Oh, good. I had so many questions for Joe, but I agree with so much of what he said, and I just think that given the economic crisis that our state and nation is facing right now, we just have to pay such close attention to how we're using the resources that the limited resources that we do have, no more than the human resources that we do have, and that as a state and as a nation, we need to be thinking about the decisions that we're making at the classroom level, at the school level, at the district and state level that determine the talent and leadership that we're bringing into our schools and how we're keeping them over time. And I think Joe spoke to a lot of the challenges that we're facing right now that
sure
complicate that issue.
And Dr. Joe Cirasullo, your thoughts before we wrap it up here? We have about 30 seconds.
Okay, in the long run, I think we really need to look at transforming education, because we are not designed to have every child learn to high standards. That's the expectation, and we need to look at how we need to change that. But in the meantime, we have a short-term crisis, and we are going to be spending as a state something around $19 billion next year. We need to be able to find in that $19 billion, $270 million, so at least the enterprise doesn't go over the cliff, and we have a chance to transform ourselves and become what we need to be.
Okay. So thank you. I want to say thanks to everybody.
You.
Wayne, Edna, Joe, and Vincent, you and I are taking a hiatus.
Yes, I'm going to be traveling a lot in the next few months. I have my New York show coming up on April 6th and 7th. You can always keep track of that at www.vincentcaprio.org, and I'll be speaking at two or three other conferences before then. So it's actually not goodbye. We'll see you later, like Larry King said.
That's right. And if people want to catch any of the shows we've already done, they'll be posted on the website. Most of them are already there. There's a few I still need to get up there. Otherwise, I'm Ann Carrick, Vincent Caprio.
And you know, when we come back, we're going to do our first show about education.
So we can finish the conversation.